You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we have a great show for this week.
Yeah.
Coming up in just a little while, we have a good friend of the podcast, Evan Riney, who we talked to about his beloved Braves, as well as some tangents. We power ranked the Carey family, Harry, Skip, and Chip. It was really good. So, yeah, that'll be up in just a little while. Before we get into the show proper, want to thank Boardwalk Audio, who hosts this show. You can support Boardwalk and Ducksnort by visiting boardwalkaudio.com/ducksnort, clicking the support our artist link. That will take you to Amazon, shop like you normally would, but Boardwalk and Ducksnort get a small percentage. Waylon and I are just shaking our heads at each other, thinking like, man, we ought to just go to Amazon right now.
Let's support ourselves.
Why don't we? Also, we want to thank OffTheBenchBaseball.com, who is our distribution partner. Great site with great analysis. Check them out. And speaking of Off the Bench, before we get into what we're going to talk about with Off the Bench, which is a little bit of Angels Astros analysis. We got some breaking baseball news.
It was today.
It'll still be new to people.
Yeah, that's true.
Since we were recording this podcast this a little bit later than
that's
we
true.
Usually
this is
do.
The closest we've ever come to breaking news.
Yeah. I mean, we are not the ones breaking it, but it is breaking.
But if one person listens and hears this for the first time, we broke it.
Yeah, that's true.
All
we broke
is
it
one,
to them.
One break.
You know, I'd rather have breaking news for one person than a slightly late news for a million people.
Take that, Ken Rosenthal.
Yeah, suck it, Ken.
Should
we just never say what the news is, by the way?
Figure out what you think it is.
Send us your tweets with what you think our breaking news was.
So Kyle Seager's brother, Corey, plays baseball for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You may have heard of him.
He
can hit a little bit.
He can hit, and he is out.
Out for the season.
Shocking news.
He's having Tommy John surgery, and he's
out
for the season.
Which is weird.
Yeah, so I was reading just what little coverage there was before we were recording this, and I guess I didn't realize he had a hurt elbow at the end of last season, and the Dodgers thought that sort of the rest and rehabilitation could cover it.
Did he miss the NLCS? Was that him? Who am I?
He did, actually, yeah.
Was it the same thing?
That's a great question.
Anyway, he's out for this. I'm vamping while you look this up. I think it's a big blow, and it sucks. I feel like I don't like the Dodgers. We were just talking about how I like the Dodgers have very much turned into a villain for me, and it's just because they're it's the Nationals, Cubs, and Dodgers are the presumed favorites. You know, I don't want Corey Seager to be out for the season.
No, he's a great player.
Like, as a baseball fan, that sucks. It always sucks when a player is out for the season.
He was actually my MVP pick.
Ooh, probably not going to win that one.
Yeah, which, I mean, you never know. He was not having a great year, but if everybody else has below replacement level seasons
across the league. Just everyone should say or everyone else gets injured and has to have Tommy John surgery.
He missed the NLCS with back problems.
Oh, so it wasn't related.
It was not, but he did have an elbow injury over the final month and a half of the season, and it was an issue that the Dodgers sort of were dealing with in spring training. They were resting him a lot, and I guess not sure if it got worse or just hasn't recovered yet, but the Dodgers are in a big hole right now.
Who's playing third for them right now?
Third, it was Logan Forsythe,
right.
But Logan Forsythe is also disabled list.
And Turner's out, but Turner's coming back soon, actually, I think, or no?
No, so current Dodgers regulars on the DL, Logan Forsythe, now Corey Seager, Yasiel Puig, and Justin Turner. Turner does not have a timetable for returning yet.
I'm not crazy. He's their third baseman, right?
He is their third baseman. Their third baseman currently is Kyle Farmer. Forsythe, and I think Kike Hernandez is playing some third.
That's
as
what
well.
I was going to say. Kike Hernandez seems like he's going to have to play short now.
Right. So, so here's how the True Blue LA, the SB Nation Dodgers blog, whose editor we've had on the show before, Eric Steven, it seems like the Dodgers will be shifting Chris Taylor to shortstop.
That's what I was about to say.
And mixing time with him and Kike Hernandez in center field, and Alex Verdugo, who's one of their top prospects, just got called up. So he may be playing some center as well. But in addition to those four regulars, the Dodgers are also missing Rich Hill, who's on the DL, and Julio Urias, who is on the DL, who hasn't pitched in a while but was one of the top prospects in baseball before last season. So anyway,
I just assumed Rich Hill was on the DL.
Yeah, I mean, a safe assumption at any given point. This is all a long way of saying the Dodgers have had some serious, serious injury problems this year. They are below 500. They're 7 games behind the Diamondbacks before Monday night's game. Where in your mind does this put the Dodgers in terms of their playoff chances? I have some thoughts, but I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay, first of all, what's Puig's injury? What's that?
Puig,
is it bad?
Puig, no, he has a hip injury and a bruised foot.
Okay.
So he shouldn't probably miss more than a few weeks.
So I think that I think this just kind of downgrades them to a good team, and they're not the Dodgers. I mean, you can't be missing Justin Turner for a significant amount of time and lose Corey Seager and still be on the Astros,
right?
Indians.
They're basically missing their two best players.
Yeah, and then Kershaw's not.
Kershaw's having a great year.
Yeah,
he's like
he's a tough luck loser, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's like basically one of the probably 10 best pitchers in the National League instead of the best.
And Jansen's figuring it out.
But I don't know if Jansen's.
Yeah.
So here.
Okay, so sorry. I just started basically. I think that they have been downgraded to a good. I think that they're basically the Cardinals now. They're a good team that I don't think that they are any longer. Like, you can't consider them the team that what it looked like going into the season, where it truly felt like we were headed for a Dodgers-Astros rematch if, like, you really had to make a bet.
Right, so that was my other prediction, was that the Dodgers would beat the Astros in the World Series.
And,
so.
And I actually like Kike Hernandez. He's obviously not Corey Seager. And if Chris Taylor can play well again, I don't know how well they're playing this year because I'm not really paying a lot of attention to the Dodgers, obviously. But
Hernandez is having a good year. Taylor is not having nearly the year that he did last year, but he's picked it up lately.
And Turner will be back, and I think he can be good. And then they have the pitching. So I don't think that they're now suddenly the Rays or anything. You know what I mean? Where it's
right.
Like, boy, how are they gonna? I don't know why I chose the Rays, just because they're like they're a poster child for mediocrity.
Yeesh.
I'm right. but I don't. I think it's. I would feel a lot worse if I was a Dodgers fan looking up at the Diamondbacks.
Right.
Even though they have two, they've lost two pitchers for the season.
Yeah, they've lost Robbie Ray, who just went on the DL, and Taijuan Walker, who's out for the year.
I think Robbie Ray's out for the year, right?
I don't think so. I think he's out indefinitely.
Oh, okay. But still.
Yeah.
So I don't. Do you disagree or do you have a different take on it?
I do agree. I agree with you in terms of their like current talent level. Like, they're a good team, but I think they're in a lot of trouble in terms of like their playoff chances, because they're looking up at the Diamondbacks and the Rockies and the Giants. They're 7 games behind the Diamondbacks, a few games behind the Rockies, and like a game and a half behind the Giants or something like that. But so here I was thinking about it when I read this Seager news, and like sort of looking at the team and like, yeah, Jansen's having a bad year. He has yet to get a 1-2-3 inning this season.
No, you don't want that.
Which is shocking. You know, Bellinger's having a pretty good year. Kershaw and Alex Wood are both having very good years. They've got, you know, rotation depth, but they,
yeah.
And
is Ryu having a good year?
Yeah, he is. So is Maeda generally. Yasmani Grandal's having a good year, but and Matt Kemp is having a surprisingly good year, which
but
is like
you can't count on that.
Yeah, I mean
it might.
But he's been a saving grace for them so far, right? Because if you went into the year and thought like, okay, it's the end of April, the Dodgers' starting outfield is Matt Kemp, Kike Hernandez, and Jock Peterson, you'd think like, uh-oh, the Dodgers are in huge trouble. Yeah. So, you know, they have some things going for them, which is basically the depth that they did have, you know, is now coming into play and will be keeping them afloat. But if you think about the Dodgers as, like, say, a 95-win true talent team coming into this season, and the Diamondbacks as maybe an 88-win true talent team, right? Like, that sort of is the general range you would put them in.
Mm-hmm.
We're now a month into the season, and that advantage has been erased just in the standings. If both teams are fully healthy, they're now at even because the Diamondbacks are 7 games ahead of the Dodgers. Then you take into account Dodgers just lost a 6-win player. Who knows when they're going to get Turner back? Like, I think the Diamondbacks are more likely to win the division at this point than the Dodgers are.
I would agree with that. And then now and if you're talking playoffs, then the Dodgers are looking at the Brewers and the Cardinals. And maybe, as we talk later, the Phillies or Braves, but then the Mets and Nationals. Like, would you feel better about the Nationals or Dodgers making the playoffs right now?
Nationals.
For sure, right?
Yeah.
That sucks. Like, for the Dodgers.
For Dodgers fans.
That's what I'm saying.
For
is
sure.
Like, he's going into the season, like, the one, I mean, you would have had to, if you said pick one NL team you know was going to make the playoffs, you would have said Dodgers.
Yeah, for sure.
And now we're thinking that I feel more confident.
I might have picked the Nationals because of the division.
Oh, the division, yeah. But still, like, the Nationals are way out of it, but they're just playing. Well, for me as a Cubs fan, it seems like the Cubs might be the best team in the NL right now. So
yeah.
Or the Diamondbacks, even though they've lost some players, some pitchers. But the Cubs looked very good in a sweep of the Brewers, which I had to mention.
Yeah, I mean, the Diamondbacks, Patrick Corbin has been like probably the best pitcher in the league, which is like a pretty huge unforeseen development. Mm-hmm. Like, they definitely, I would say that they lose a pretty big chunk of that surprising advantage since Ray is down.
Yeah.
But if Ray comes back and it's Greinke, Corbin, and Ray in the starting in the playoffs,
in
like
a 5-game series,
yeah, that might be the best. Well, I guess Kershaw would and Ryu would give them a run for their money, but
you don't think like a Hendricks, Quintana, Darvish?
No.
They just swept the Brewers, who are off an 8-game win streak, and they allowed 1 earned run.
Look, those are all solid pitchers.
No, you're right, but still. I mean, think of the rotations that are going to potentially be in the playoffs. Like, if the Nationals do make it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the starting pit, like, we're going to, like, in the National League, it's going to be just.
If the Mets catch a wild card slot.
Like, the starting pitcher potential for the NL playoffs is, like, there's not going to be a real dud in the mix. It's going to be.
Yeah, maybe the pendulum will swing back towards starters instead of relievers.
Yeah. Oh, I hope so.
Interesting.
I don't know. I don't hope so. I don't know. I want starters to go more than 4 innings in a playoff game.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway, so.
Sorry, I took us on the Cubs tangent that we said explicitly we weren't going to do before we started.
It's quite all right. I get it. Let's talk White Sox for a while. No. Yeah, I'm bummed out. As like
it is a
person who lives in Los Angeles and attends more Dodgers games than anything else, I'm bummed out for the Dodgers and for Dodgers fans.
How could you, like, I mean, I'm a sucker for like a great middle infielder.
Yeah.
Like, those are my favorite type of players, and now one's gone.
Yeah.
Like, that's so.
And I think Seager is like pretty underrated across the league. Like, like, he's definitely a Carlos Correa type player.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't maybe have that It's profile.
Probably because his brother Kyle is so much better.
Right, yeah. And and obviously the Seattle media bias.
Yeah. Like, oh, I hate that.
If they would only stop talking about the Mariners on ESPN, just finally give some love to the Dodgers.
Every Sunday night baseball is in Safeco, and I'm tired of it. What else?
Well, speaking of AL West.
Oh, nice. Man,
yes.
You are on a roll this season. MVP should have been Greg Segways. That should have been my pick.
I accept the compliment. So, Off the Bench published an article this week about the Angels and how Garrett Richards was their ace before Ohtani and potentially could be key to sort of their performance this season if they want to go far in the playoffs. And so I was thinking about it. I was thinking about, like, I guess what chance do we really think the Angels have of overtaking the Astros for the AL West and potentially sort of overtaking the Red Sox, Yankees, Astros, Indians quartet in the playoffs if they do get there? And I wanted to get your thoughts on it because...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just had a quick thing.
Yeah.
It's a little not related. Had the Astros become... Like this, are people already tired of the Astros?
No, I don't think so.
I don't. Okay.
Who's tired of the Astros? I'm not tired of the Astros.
I don't feel like maybe it's just because there are so many crazy stories that aren't Astros. You know, I feel like the Astros are flying under the radar this year.
Yeah, they started a little bit slow, and since then, I think they've just been consistently good. Like, I don't think that there's been any kind of like. Super performance. I think
maybe
they've just been solid up and down.
I shouldn't have, like, are they becoming the Spurs, or are people already becoming bored of the Astros?
I don't think so. I don't think people will ever get that bored of a team with Jose Altuve on it.
And Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
And Evan Gattis.
Yeah, I think it's sort of just the ups and downs of the baseball season.
Okay.
I think it's a long season.
I just hope not. I don't feel like this team deserves people to get bored of them.
Well, then you can give them a little Astros love in our current segment, Angels versus Astros. The title that I just made.
We need Joe here.
Pew, pew.
Angels.
That's the Angels sound effect.
Great. Oh, great. And Astros is the
pew, 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 pew.
Great.
So, kind of to help figure out, the Angels, I think, are 2 or 2.5 games back of the Astros. Help us figure out, you know, do they got a shot at this thing?
Do
they got a shot at that coveted NL West champion pennant? Put it right up above those fake rocks in fake boulders in Angel Stadium. I want to go position by position here on the depth chart
it.
And see who you would take.
Yes.
So, first base, probably an easy decision, but. Angels
I'm
are
taking Albert Pujols.
Is it because he's getting that magical 3,000?
He's going to get 3,000.
3,000 hits. So, Albert Pujols, Yuli Gurriel. One, an aging legend. The other, perhaps a racist. The other, Albert Pujols. Gurriel's a legend in these parts.
You got to go Gurriel, right? Like, if I was building a team?
Yeah.
I like Albert Pujols better. I know that he's bad, but it's never going to make me stop liking him.
Yeah.
It's like if Mike Trout became bad, I wouldn't stop liking Mike. You know what I mean? And he's not on my team, I guess, so he's not hurting me.
Right.
So if I was trying to win, I would take Gurriel, but honestly, Pujols would be like, here's what I would do. I would save first base for my last pick, and I would take Pujols.
That makes sense. Here's a curveball to throw in there. Albert Pujols has a better OPS right now.
I mean,
it's not impossible.
He's looking better this. He just cannot play defense.
Right. It's not impossible that Pujols outhits Gurriel.
No, and I would rather have Albert Pujols on my team.
But the Astros have a better. Gurriel is better all around.
Yes.
Like just for this season, for standings. Okay, second base. Ian Kinsler, Jose Altuve.
Are we doing this as like we're picking who has the better to help us determine who will win the division? Is that what was that what I missed when you set this up?
Yeah.
Oh, well then yeah, Gurriel.
Okay.
But if it's my team, Pujols. Okay.
Right.
Altuve.
Altuve, Kinsler.
Altuve.
Easy one.
But like, yes, easy, but like kind of like a hard luck loss for Kinsler.
Yeah, right. Kinsler's
as
good.
We'll talk about later in the podcast.
Right.
But it's Jose Altuve.
Yes.
Okay.
Shortstop. Andrelton Simmons, Carlos Correa.
This one, I think I gotta go Correa, but like I almost don't want to.
I think it's closer than the average fan will expect.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just because I've been reading so much about Simmons lately.
Yeah.
And because, you know, he's great at defense.
So, yeah, Simmons is incredible at defense. He's having his best year with the bat so far. He had a good year with the bat last year. Actually, last year, they had the same exact wins above replacement. Much different ways of getting there. I'm looking at Fangraphs right now. Simmons was worth 4.6 runs on offense and 24.6 runs on defense. Correa was worth 32.4 on offense, 2.6 on defense. And they were Simmons was worth a little bit more on the base paths.
You know
too.
What, Greg? I'm prepared to call this a toss-up.
A toss-up. I think that's fair. I mean, I guess the one thing that might sway it in Correa's direction is he's 5 years younger. So you could
but
say
we're talking this season, right?
Yeah, no, we're talking this season, but even, you know, later this season, maybe you could see Correa going nuts and, you know, finishing with 40 homers or something. But I think it's a toss-up too. I'm gonna agree with you.
Which is really saying something for Simmons.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a great trade for the Angels getting Simmons.
Boy, what a great person. What a great person to have on your team.
Yeah. Fan favorite.
Let's go to 3B.
3B. Alex Bregman, Zach Cozart.
Okay, so I haven't looked at the numbers. I feel like I'd want to go with Bregman.
Bregman.
But I'm guessing Cozart probably is better offensively than Bregman.
Well, I don't know. This is another... Bregman is not having a great year, but he was very solid last year. Cozart was better last year.
Yeah. Bregman's defense has got to be a little better, right?
I mean, Cozart's one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball.
Is that translating to third base?
Well, you can't just toss these questions at me willy-nilly.
Well, I'm just...
Okay, you got to give me
this
time.
This is your segment.
Well,
you
gotta
be prepared. You tossed the segment at me willy-nilly.
We talked about it before. No, give me that shit.
We did. I didn't mean to throw you under the bus.
No. So neither one is hitting particularly well. Thus far, Cozart's defense is translating. This is maybe another...
Toss-up?
Well, it's similar. It's like, what do you care more about? Do you care more about upside, or do you care more about... established performance.
Yeah.
Cozart had an incredible year last year that maybe he won't hit again. Bregman was like the number two overall pick in the draft or something.
I'm gonna give this one slight Cozart. I'm switching.
I'm gonna do that too, but only because I'm a big Cozart fan for some reason. I just like him. I just like the guy.
I think that like if we're saying like who you're gonna need to win this year. I think the Angels do have the edge here. So I'm going to give it to Cozart. Just, I think more because of track record, like you said.
Yeah. All right. Let's go catcher. We got Brian McCann, Evan Gattis versus Martin Maldonado and Rene Rivera. Easy one, I think. Right?
The Astros?
Astros, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know a lot about... Rene Rivera's having kind of a good year, is he not? Or am I making that up?
I truly don't know. I was only... Okay, his name is Rene.
It is. No, you were correct on that.
I only saw R. Rivera on the depth chart, and I was really...
Rene would be a crazy stab if you just truly didn't know.
I was like kind of sure, but like... yes, he's having a very good year, but it's a very small sample size.
Obviously, only
31 at-bats.
So this is another one where I mean, maybe Rene Rivera will have a breakout season, but I mean, you got to go with Gattis.
You got to go with like...
Gattis and McCann.
McCann's like an 8-time All-Star or something like that. I mean, hard to argue against that.
Yeah. And Gattis is just he's like the coolest.
So burly.
Yeah.
Let's go to the outfield.
OF.
Left field. We got Justin Upton versus, we could say Derek Fisher or Marwin Gonzalez. I'm not sure who is necessary. I guess Marwin Gonzalez is more of a super utility guy. So,
yeah.
I guess versus Derek Fisher, Justin Upton is the easy choice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is one where I think this is the clearest Angels victory.
Well, I mean, okay, center field.
So far.
Okay, there you go. Center field, Mike Trout versus George Springer.
This is a tough... This is... Like, Springer's getting Kinslered here.
Yeah, he really is. but it's obviously Trout. But
well, I mean, you would take Trout...
Yeah, you'd take Trout over any player.
I would take Trout, like, playing third base over... like, I don't know if Trout can play third base, but yeah.
So, easy decision.
Yeah.
And then right field, we have Cole Calhoun and Josh Reddick.
You know what? Honestly, I have no idea how good Cole Calhoun is.
I think...
I mean, I know who he is, but I don't really have a good sense of how good he is.
He's like a 3-4 win player. He's like kind of slightly
above
Reddick
average. So, Reddick is right in there, right?
Yeah. I think I'd go with Reddick... I think he's a slightly better hitter, and he has like one of the best arms in baseball.
But my instinct was Reddick.
Yeah, it's not a huge advantage, but I'll say Reddick has a slim edge in my mind. And then DH, I guess we shouldn't have counted Gattis at catcher because he's basically
he's like
the everyday DH versus Ohtani. And this is sort of like
who
track record versus track record versus upside.
I would take Ohtani over Gattis.
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of have to.
I mean, Ohtani can
so
run.
Far. Well, yeah, there's that for sure. Let's see. I'm pulling up Ohtani's batting stat. I mean, he's got a OPS over 1,000. You know,
you got to take Ohtani over.
You
got to
take Ohtani.
I think if the Astros DH were someone like Springer, or then you can. You know, if they had a different center fielder or whatever, if Marwin Gonzalez played in Springer DH for whatever reason, then you could have an argument.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got even if Gattis ends up with a better because of injury or whatever.
So, why don't we... I'm going to give the Astros a little bit of extra credit for Marwin Gonzalez over Luis Valbuena
okay.
for their super utility guy. But I don't know how else to count that, so I'll just... do that.
That's good. That's fine. We got to do pitching staffs?
Yeah. Pretty easy. I mean, I don't think we need to line them up, but let's say...
No, Astros starters are better.
Astros starters,
starters.
Verlander, Keuchel, McCullers, Cole, Morton versus Garrett Richards, Andrew Heaney, Tyler Skaggs, Shohei Ohtani, and Nick Tropiano Matt Shoemaker.
Any of the first four... Wait. Verlander, Cole, Keuchel is the number one on the Angels, right?
Verlander, Keuchel, McCullers, Cole, in whatever order.
Yeah, so, but I don't know. Would McCullers be number one on the Angels? The other three would be, right? No.
Yeah.
Not even close. The other three would be no.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's a wide margin.
Yeah, I feel
Astros
like that's even
advantage.
Bigger than Trout. I think that's the biggest margin we've had so far.
Yeah, and I mean, going back to the off-the-bench post about Richards. He is a little bit of a wild card. He was a very good pitcher in, like, 2014, 2015, 2016. If he can sort of recapture that, you know, it becomes a little bit closer, but still, you know,
but
it really is on it's really on Ohtani to become a number one if the Angels want to have any chance of hanging in a playoff series.
If Ohtani's number one and Richards plays as well as he used to, you're still looking at Verlander, Cole, who's having a great year, and Keuchel, who maybe is, I don't actually know how well he's doing, but he's been a little streaky, but still, like, I don't think it's even close.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and I think the bullpen, kind of similarly, you know, sort of playoff performance aside, Ken Giles, Chris Devensky, Will Harris for the Astros.
And Peacock, has Peacock been in the pen or has he even started?
Yeah, Peacock's been in the pen. Colin McHugh has been in the pen. It's not especially close there either. Although the Angels have had Keenan Middleton closing, who has been having a good year overall. He walks too many guys, but that's not unique to him among bullpen guys, obviously. But I think, Devensky is having another incredible year. Giles has good results, even if he hasn't been missing bats. Peacock has, I'm extending the word has, so this will load. Peacock is also having a very good year. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the Astros have a huge advantage in the pitching staff, and I think even though, like, let me count up, the Astros have, in our rankings that we just gave them, the Astros have first, second, right catcher. The Angels have left field, center field, DH, third base by a hair, shortstop is a tie. So the Astros have an advantage on the position player side, and they also have a huge advantage on the pitching staff.
I was going to say when we were before we started talking about pitchers, like the Angels are more in this than I thought.
Yeah.
Because, and also, like, you almost had to count Trout as two players.
Right.
And I know Altuve is very good, but I mean, Trout's just so, such a big X factor.
Right. As is Ohtani.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Ohtani's like a mystery X factor, like a true.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, what I guess you're correct that he is a mystery, but he's such a mystery that he could be worth 10 wins at the end of the year.
Oh, definitely.
And Trout could be worth 10 wins as well. So, like, that head start over Altuve and Verlander or whoever, like, whoever the Astros' two best players are, Altuve and Correa or whatever, is like, those guys are probably a solid bet to get to 12 wins combined, maybe, like, 14 or 15 wins at the upper end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Ohtani and Trout are probably a solid bet to be worth 14 wins and, like, 20 wins.
So it's like a potential 5 to 6 run or win gap, which is, now we're talking about what the Angels need to win the division.
Right.
But I think the pitching staff is so much better.
Yeah, I think
that's where it comes.
I think without pretty significant injury problems, the Astros have a safe handle on the division. I think that's where I land after this exercise.
Me too, but I think it's closer than I think it's just pitching, and which is really impressive, actually.
Yeah.
Because the Astros are stacked.
Yeah.
And
it makes you wonder sort of if the Angels have the money to, like, go after David Price or somebody during the offseason.
I think they're right there. And I think the Angels have, like, a real good shot about, you know, getting a wild card. I don't know who, like, it's going to be kind of between them and whoever loses the Yankees Red Sox battle.
Yeah.
It feels like. I don't know who else, because the Central's a dumpster fire.
True.
And so I don't know where else is. I mean, Toronto's playing well. And I guess the A's are
Mariners.
Playing well. And Mariners, but they're the A's and Mariners.
Yeah. But that was, I think, educational for me. I was sort of in my head was thinking, the Angels maybe have a better shot at it than they do. But that pitching staff, that's a pretty crazy difference.
It's just so hard. Unless Verlander drops off a cliff. But
yeah, or McCullers, like, blows out his elbow.
Yeah, but Verlander's been Verlander.
But even then, they have McHugh and Peacock in the bullpen.
It's really hard to go up against that.
Yeah.
Over the course of a season, now, in the playoffs, you never know what can happen with, like, Giles last year and everything.
Right.
But over the course of the season, it seems like it's the Astros division.
Yeah. Cool. I liked that. I liked doing that.
Great
that was
segment idea.
Hey, Waylon, thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem.
I think that we should get into our talk with Evan.
Let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Ducksnore. On the line with us is good friend of the podcast, perhaps best friend of the podcast.
Yeah, I think best friend.
If you think about it, yeah. Evan Riney, thanks for joining us, Evan.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, very excited to talk some Braves with you as a Braves fan. We were doing a little warm-up chat about your fantasy team, which is obviously, like, compelling. I think since we're all improvisers and comedians, I think trying to describe your fantasy team's performance is very similar to trying to describe an improv scene in terms of listener interest.
Yeah, I think that's true. I love fantasy baseball, and I love improv. And I don't want to hear about anyone else's team or something.
So we'll skip around that topic. But let's talk Braves. They're like big in the news right now, obviously, because Acuna just came up. the global number one prospect, I guess you would say, besides Shohei Ohtani. But how are you liking Acuña so far? How are you liking the Braves season so far?
I'm giddy. It's been incredible. They're on pace for 96 wins, which I think is definitely going to hold. It's been super fun. Acuña looks awesome. Albies is killing it. Freeman's hitting. My new favorite player, Ryan Flaherty's been great.
Evan is texting me about Flaherty probably 6 times.
Easily, yeah. That's with me using a lot of restraint.
Where's he going to play when Bautista comes up, though, is the question. You got to have room for both those bats in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you can't sit a guy like Ryan Flaherty. he has fallen a lot. His average has fallen like 100 points in like a few weeks. I feel like. But they also have Johan Camargo, who is hitting like 300 in a very small sample size, but he was called up for the first time last year and he hit 300 in like a couple hundred at bats. And he's played third base both times. So I have no idea why they would even entertain playing Jose Bautista, but hey, let's see what happens.
Yeah. It's a crazy experiment in sort of my brain, I guess. It doesn't make any sense, but I do think like, they need a third baseman super badly, and they're, like, in the hunt, so I guess take a flyer. But, like, what do you think of the Braves start is sustainable?
Like, win-wise or, like, player-wise?
Like, player performance-wise, I guess.
I think Freddie Freeman. Dansby's down. He's hitting, like, in the 280s now, which is where I would sort of expect him to end up. I don't think Albie's power is probably real. Inciarte should probably hit a little bit better than he is. Pitching, I mean, I don't know what's happened with Julio Teheran, but it seems like maybe he's just a league average pitcher now, which is about where he is. I think Sean Newcomb looks really good. He's got an ERA like low mid fours, which is probably about where you expect him. They've gotten good innings out of Brandon McCarthy. Don't necessarily expect that to continue at least as well as it has. He's also pretty injury prone. So I guess overall they're probably playing above their heads, but they also have a lot more talent on the way. No one as good individually as Acuña, but basically their team should only get better as the year goes on, which is why it's exciting that they've played so well the first month.
I mean, yeah, these are banked wins, and that division looks competitive because the Mets, I feel like, could fall apart at any time, and the Phillies can't be any more for real than the Braves, right?
Yeah, I agree completely. It's kind of odd that the Nationals are scuffling, although I feel like I've been taking them to win 110 games for like 5 years, so that's on me. But yeah, I think the Braves look great compared to their division, for sure.
You know why the Nationals are scuffling? No Dusty Baker.
The hidden secret.
That's true. It's worked out at every stop. Sorry, Dusty. That was so snarky. I don't know.
Yeah, Dusty definitely listens, too. So.
Yeah, he's a big fan. That was a great low-key burn, though.
Yeah,
that was
really
like
was.
Straight up like razor sharp. No, I think the Braves so far this season strike me as very similar to the Brewers last year, which is a compliment, I think, of a team that maybe is arriving a little bit sooner than people thought they would because they just have so much position player talent. And maybe they're still lacking on the pitching side. But if kind of, yeah, those guys who on the pitching side are surprising a little bit, like McCarthy, maybe can keep them in the race until June or July. Maybe they could make a couple reliever additions or like a mid-rotation starter addition and sort of be in the hunt for the second wild card that like surprisingly, I guess it doesn't seem like anybody in the NL is running away with. Like, do you feel like that's best case scenario for the Braves this season? Do you think that they can hang in the division? Or, like, I don't know. I still feel like the Nationals will go like the Cubs last year and sort of take the division in the end, personally.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not, if I were the Nationals, I wouldn't be too worried about it. I do think best case scenario for the Braves, which is like the only way to get into the playoffs, is the NL Central beats each other up and the Braves sneak into the second wild card with like 85 wins.
Yeah, that makes
like something in, yeah.
That makes sense to me. And is like, you know, somewhat realistic. I don't know how likely, but it's definitely possible.
Like you wouldn't be shocked if that happened.
Right. No. Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't be like the Padres winning the wild card.
Right.
What's Ozzie Albies? So you said his power is probably not for real. What do you think his long term like comp, player comp, or like what's his ceiling? Like what's he looking? Because I think I love him. I think he was one of my favorite rookies, and
that's
I want to know
strong romantic.
Yeah,
feelings.
I think I love him, and I want to know. I want to know what I'm actually looking at here.
I would say another player that I have always loved, Ian Kinsler. I think he's going to be kind of streaky. He's not like a great OBP guy, but not bad. But you could probably count on him for like 20 seasons throughout his prime.
Okay.
Hey, that's a great, I think, result for the Braves. Like Kinsler. Yeah. Kinsler's been one of the more underrated players in baseball for like the last decade. Like I think he has sort of an actual dark horse like Hall of Fame candidacy if he has
Kinsler.
Yeah, if he has like 3 or 4 more years. I mean, he's basically been Chase Utley. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like maybe Chase Utley, but 5% worse, 10% worse. And I think Chase Utley's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he'll actually get there, but by like talent and results, I think he is. So I would think Braves fans would be stoked if that's Albies.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be incredible. Especially considering he, sort of like Acuna, they were like international signings that kind of came out of nowhere. They weren't like, you know, Freddie or Dansby, like hyped up first round picks. Like, you know, they didn't spend a draft pick on him, basically, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And they didn't cheat to acquire them.
That we know of.
I mean, from what we do know, there's definitely a chance, right?
Yeah. That's a great segue because I was going to ask about that. Like, so if the Braves are set up really well right now for like the next 5 years, if they have as good of a half decade as like people expect, you know, if they win a World Series or even win a few division titles in a row, like a pennant, like, what do you think? How do you think Braves fans would feel about Coppolella? And how do you think they should feel about Coppolella and like what he contributed to the organization? Because like I'm also thinking about sort of the Sixers and Sam Hinkie right now. And obviously it's not quite the same. Hinkie didn't cheat. He was sort of like martyred for the process. The so-called process. But like, you know, Coppolella is not going to be around if they win a World Series. In fact, he's banned from baseball. But like, shouldn't he get a World Series ring? Like, shouldn't Braves fans be appreciative of what he's brought?
I think they should definitely be appreciative. I like the guy. I mean, maybe I don't like the guy. I like what he did, I guess, for the most part. They lost prospects. Like, they lost Kevin Maton, who was the top international free agent the year the Braves got him. I mean, they got punished. They just happened to have a farm system that was good enough to withstand that. And from what I've heard, like Ozzy or Acuna, Mike Soroka, like any of their like kind of stud guys right now, no one was involved in that. You can guess that maybe they didn't get caught. I have no idea. But I think Hinkie's a good comparison. Like the Braves were bottomed out. Like when Frank Wren left, it was pretty sad. And which is weird to say because the Braves had just won like 96 games. but they had like such bad contracts on the books. They had no farm system. Even though they were winning games, they didn't seem like one of they didn't seem like they were going to win a World Series in the next few years. So it was pretty ugly. And then within 4 years, they had the best minor league system in baseball. Like, I don't know. I would imagine, I'm not a GM, I would imagine that's pretty hard to do even when you're cheating. So I can't complain.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know. I think it's really interesting sort of like how, like what he, what recognition he deserves to get, I guess, and probably won't, you know. And I guess I'll say the other thing is like if Coppola, if the Braves win the World Series and Coppola gets a ring, should Dave Parker get a ring also for trading them Dansby Swanson and Ender Inciarte for Shelby Miller's rotted out husk?
Yeah, they also gave the Braves Touki Toussaint, who's one of their top pitching prospects, just so the Braves would take the last year of Bronson Arroyo's contract.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was like $10 million or something for a top 100 prospect.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was the Diamondbacks' like number two prospect or something, very high, and they got him for like $9 or $10 million.
Man, imagine.
So Dave Parker deserves a ring.
Yeah, he's. I think he does. Just imagine where the Diamondbacks would be right now if they hadn't made that trade. They're like in first place by a pretty big margin, and like, you know, they don't have great production from shortstop. They have, Pollock is obviously a good center fielder, but, like, what team couldn't use Inciarte? Like, ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Also, you can only count on Pollock realistically for, like, 90 games.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. So. Yeah.
But also, just to go the other way with Copy, what if the top prospect they took away was Ronald Acuna? Right? Like, completely different scenario.
Yeah, I mean, people would have been losing their minds, like burning.
Yeah.
Like, I have another friend who's a huge Braves fan, and, like, I would have actually been worried for, like, his health if that had happened.
Yeah. I still think about the Adam Wainwright trade.
I don't know the Wainwright trade.
Oh, the Wainwright was the Braves' top prospect, and they traded him for J.D. Drew.
Oh man, Drew had a great year for the Braves, though, right? Like, didn't they?
Yeah,
like,
it's Adam Wainwright, though.
Well,
yeah, he had the best year of his career, J.D. Drew, and the Braves were awesome, but it was Adam Wainwright. And I remember like reading an old Baseball Digest where they were like talking about how good Adam Wainwright was going to be. Oh, that's okay. I think Ray King was in that deal too. If that helps.
Would you still want Wainwright now? I'm fascinated by Wainwright because he throws like 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, I don't know why he's still starting when the Cardinals have like Jack Flaherty. Like, they have like great pitching prospects who have looked amazing in spot starts, but like they keep throwing out old man Wainwright.
Yeah, Alex Reyes isn't even starting for them yet, is he? And he was number one overall prospect in baseball last year before he got hurt.
Yeah.
I guess contract, and he's like going to have a statue at Busch Stadium probably.
No way.
Why not?
Wainwright gets it. He didn't even win a Cy Young.
Yeah, but he's been their ace for like 12 years, and they won three World Series or something.
You're being too liberal with your statues.
I'm pro-statue. Maybe that's just me.
Awesome. Just pure gut feeling. I feel like the Cardinals fans always loved Chris Carpenter way more than they loved Wainwright.
Interesting. I don't have a good feeling for that because I barely know any Cardinals fans. I guess we could ask Johnny Meeks, our resident Cardinals fan, but maybe they'll do like Carpenter and Wainwright together in bronze, like big brother and little brother.
You know
they were
gonna,
buddies, I think.
You know, they'll give one to Daryl Kyle before they give one to those two.
No, they won't.
Yes, he died. Just
but he wasn't nearly as good.
But he died.
You die and you get a statue?
Yeah,
like, not
that's
to be
like one of the main ways you get a statue is dying.
Is just dying?
Yeah. It does help. It definitely helps you get a statue.
Yeah. Is Corey Lytle going to get a statue in Yankee Stadium?
You got to be a little better.
Okay, so there is a dividing line.
Daryl Kyle.
Maybe a bust.
A bus. I think I would. Okay, I could get behind a bus. Some kind of memorial. But Kyle wasn't even like a lifelong Cardinal. No. Wainwright's a lifelong Cardinal.
That's true. I don't. I think
Kyle was better for the Astros than he was for the Cardinals.
Yeah, you're right.
I actually, and I'm saying this as a pro Daryl Kyle guy, because Kyle was.
Is that true? Didn't he have a really good Cardinals year? He was terrible on the Rockies.
Correct.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah,
and
he hasn't been.
He was good for the Cardinals, I think, but I think like his best year was for the Astros. Like he got.
Okay.
I'm pulling up his baseball reference right now, but I think, let's see. Yeah, he had two All-Star years for the Astros, and his best year was probably his last year for the Astros. And then, yeah, he won 20 games for the Cardinals. But anyway, I mean, what I was going to say was I'm a Daryl Kyle fan because when I was growing up, the Tucson Toros, the AAA team, were the Astros minor league club. So, like, Daryl Kyle and Billy Wagner and, like, a bunch of dudes who were great for the Astros came up. And I was, like, big fans of all theirs. Like, I had their autographs and their baseball cards and stuff. So
that's pretty cool.
Remember that weird run where the Astros just always had, like, a random awesome pitcher, like Kyle or Scott Ellerton or Jose Lima?
Yeah, Lima was like out of nowhere and then proceeded to go back to nowhere out of nowhere.
No, he didn't go nowhere. He went to
Octavio Dotel.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
One of my like friends when I was a little kid was a big Astros fan, and it was always so annoying. Like, there were always guys, and it was just like, who are these people?
Yeah. When the Astros were in the NL Central, I hated them almost as much as I hated the Cardinals.
Yeah.
They were so pesky and annoying.
I think, though, until recently, obviously, the card that you could always pull was that they've never won the World Series. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's not super helpful as a Cubs fan specifically.
Yeah.
But as a Braves fan, Evan, like, you know, you had wins over the Astros every single year.
Yeah, definitely. And then they had that one year where they could revel in the Chris Burke home run. And then they had nothing, and now they're... too good.
Well, but the Chris Burke, wasn't the Chris Burke home run? That was when the same year that they got swept by the White Sox in the World Series, I think.
Yeah, they didn't win it, but I think that was the first time they had made a World Series, or maybe at least first time in a long time.
That was their only other World Series except for last year. The Astros.
And
we
broomed them, baby. I have another Braves question for you, Evan, as we get close to the end here. So I'm looking at the Fangraphs playoff odds for the NL East, and the Braves started the year with a 3% chance of making the playoffs based on Fangraphs projections. They now have a 13.6% chance of making the playoffs. Are you taking the over or the under on that?
Is that purely mathematical, like based on how many games they can win the rest of the way?
That's based on, I believe, like performance up to this point combined with projections for the rest of the season for like all the teams in the division.
I'm going to go over.
Awesome. Feeling bullish.
You going 80%?
I think it's roughly 80% that they make the playoffs. I'll bet money on that.
I'll take that bet.
It's honestly, I think 13 is probably roughly right. Like it's something like that. But I'm going to be a positive homer and go over.
Oh, Evan, I wanted to ask you, this is a bit of a tangent. So the Atlanta Braves visited Wrigley Field recently. If you might remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're waiting for a reaction.
I want a reaction. I want you to know you remember. Did you, I don't know if you were watching any of those games, but Mr. Chip Carey came on over to the Cubs booth.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Cubs broadcast. I didn't know if they were addressed it on the Braves broadcast, but Chip Carey came over. He was, you could tell he was weirded out by it.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been a huge thrill for the Cubs fans.
It was really cool. I actually really liked it, and Len and JD were being great. They were actually trying to get him to call the game, and Chip was kind of like, I don't know. It's not my job.
Yeah, that's awesome, though.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Chip calls Braves games?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He betrayed the Cubs.
That's a fun thing about the Braves this year, too, is, like, the past few years, it's Chip Carey and Joe Simpson. Chip Carey is, like, always making, like, dad jokes, and he's always very happy. And then Joe Simpson is just, like, this cantankerous, crusty old baseball man. And it's, like, it's funny sometimes, but they had been so bad that it was kind of getting – it was too much. He was just always so upset. And then this year – There's a spring in his step again, and it's just been great to see.
I definitely relate to that, as Hawk Harrelson is about the most cantankerous dude in the world, broadcaster, but actually he's second place behind the White Sox radio broadcaster, Ed Farmer, and they have the most contentious relationship, he and Darren Jackson, and it's just awful to listen to. I don't remember if we talked about it on the podcast or not, but I remember telling you about it recently where Ed Farmer will just like point out things on the field but not describe what they are. And so he'll be like, oh, look at that over there. And Darren Jackson will be like, yeah. And that'll be it for, like, the batter. It's like, what the fuck? But I do, this conversation just gave me a great idea for the final segment with Evan, which is I want all of us to power rank the carries.
Okay, here we go.
Chip, Skip, and Harry. Give us your
sounds like a kid's game.
Chip, Skip, and Harry. Evan, give us your
that's the name of the chipmunks.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Count down your carries for us, Evan.
All right, I'm gonna go reverse order. Number three, Skip.
Oh, wow.
He was a Braves guy, but honestly, I don't have that many memories with him. Number two, Harry. And number one, the best carry, Chip Carey.
Wow.
Chip Carey.
All right.
I'm surprised you went Skip that low because he was a Braves guy, but don't have those memories. He had that
well, part of it's, look, I'm not a Harry Carey guy. I get, like, if he were on my team, I'm sure I would, like, love him like a crazy uncle. But he was alone.
Sure. Yeah. Crazy. Crazy man.
Oh, yeah. He's nuts.
Yeah. That's not what I need.
You don't need a nut? Well, you have no skin in this because you have never had any of them as your actual broadcaster, Greg. So how would you rank?
That's true, but I have watched all of them. Okay. I mean, I grew up with the Cubs on WGN, so I've seen both Chip and Harry Cubs games, and Harry was a White Sox announcer
before
he was a Cubs announcer. But that's neither here nor there. My top three, though, I think I'm going to go the same as Evans. I'm going to go number three, Skip, just because even though I've seen games that he's called, I have no sort of impactful memories of him. Number two, Harry, sort of just for impact on baseball, although I think he's criminally overrated by Cubs fans. I don't think he's any better of a broadcaster than Hawk Harrelson. and number one, I'm going to go Chip because I think he's a good announcer. I like his game. I like the way he calls a game.
I mean, there's no way I can rank Harry not number one. There's no way I can.
Sure. Well, I mean, you could if you weren't a massive homer.
There's no... He's a legend. Skip was not good from what I remember. Skip actively turned me off. I think Skip is part of the reasons I wasn't a Braves fan. He was boring. It skipped a generation. Skip is a solid three. Chip is great. Number two. Harry Carey has made me cry, so he's got to be number one.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost blasphemous as a baseball fan to say you don't like Harry Carey. I think it's to Greg's point, he's just been so overrated by Cubs fans that it's hard to properly rate him at this point.
I think you're right. And here's the thing. I honestly don't actually know if he was a good baseball announcer. Like, I don't I don't remember how good he is at calling games. I just remember, like, it's a cult of personality.
Well, I think, like, broadcasters like him, like, because I am likening him to Hawk, because, like, they're both more personality than announcer. You know what I mean? It's like, there's nobody comes up imitating Harry Carey or Hawk Harrelson, because it can't be done.
Right.
So I think that they have, like, an arc, right? Or at least Hawk did, where it's like they start out kind of like kooky, but like very enjoyable. And then they get to the point where they're sort of like kookiness is at full bore, and like sort of the home fans love him and other fans like get tired of him. And then it's just like a slow downward trajectory where it just only becomes kookiness, and there's like literally no baseball announcing happening.
I think Harry Carey dying helped him not reach Hawk level.
Right. He didn't sink to the same lows.
And the White Sox are what made Harry weird. It was Bill Veeck and the White Sox.
Sure,
if you listen to his Cardinals stuff, he's like a regular good announcer. But then he went to the White Sox, and Bill Veeck, you know, encourages whatever he would
told
encourage.
Him to let loose.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And then you could hear early 80s White Sox stuff, and you can just like hear him kind of the switch flip.
Here's my other thing about Harry Carey is that my dad like wrote in to have them announce my birthday when I was like 5 years old or something, because they would do that every game, you know, like happy birthday to kids watching or whatever. And they announced it on the wrong day and I missed it. So maybe I just have a grudge.
Oh.
Like my dad.
Yeah, screw that guy.
Yes, screw Harry Carey.
Yeah,
he forgot
it was
my
his
birthday.
Fault.
Yeah, it was. If you ask me, it sure was. Fuck. Well, we're at it. Fuck Steve Stone. He didn't correct Harry Carey on what my birthday was.
It's not Stone. Yeah, great ranking.
Yeah.
Chip is very good. You're very lucky.
He's great. Yeah, I'm jealous. Evan.
I mean, Evan,
good,
you're lucky.
And now you have a good team to watch, so it's going to be a good year.
Yeah. One thing about the White Sox broadcast team, though, I watched a game this weekend. They were playing the Royals.
They sure were.
I'm pandering to the hosts. And they actually brought on Steve McCaddy, the AAA pitching coach, and they were just asking him about different prospects, what's working for him, what he tells them, then like asked him to give advice on like young pitchers in general about trying to figure out how you pitch. And it was an awesome segment. And I was just thinking, like, I can't believe teams don't do that more.
Yeah. Benetti and Stone are they're great, and they have I missed that particular segment, but they do a lot of like minor league coverage with the coaches and even the players, because mostly I think because the White Sox are not particularly interesting this year, and they want to get people excited for the future. So I agree. I think more teams should do that, and sort of like, especially the insights of the broadcasters can get old, you know, when you hear the like same kind of stuff over and over again, because they only have so much to relate from their careers. So it's cool to get like insiders with different perspectives. So, and that's cool. You were watching a White Sox and Royals game. Thanks for pandering.
Yeah. Great pander. This is before you even
of course.
Be
I try podcast. To change it up too. I love Chip, but I like to hear like other teams and regions takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the real highlights of MLB TV for me, is to get to listen to other teams' broadcasts.
Oh, definitely.
I kind of like it better when they're bad. It like makes
I don't know.
They're like sort of interesting, and it makes me value when like Benetti and Stone, I think.
If they're bad, like Pirates broadcasts and Tigers broadcasts are brutal. Like they're not even interesting. Like Rex Hudler is a maniac. But at least he's interesting. But like Pirates podcast, like, could put me to sleep. It sucks.
Yeah, I think I can make it through like 3 innings of a Royals broadcast
before you.
And
then
I'm like, well, that was interesting.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The Royals when they're bad, because Hud is like the opposite of cantankerous. He's like he's just relentless optimism.
Genial.
Yeah, I mean, genial, I think, is an understatement. He's just because he's like a motivational speaker is
right.
His other job, and he doesn't turn that off. And it can get infuriating.
The opposite of Joe Simpson.
They should put them together. Two color guys.
Yeah, Joe Simpson's like a little kid, like walking to the store with his parent. He's like, "Can I have this?" And the parent keeps saying no, and he just keeps getting more and more upset. It's like, just chill out. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine.
Oh man, I guess I don't know him off the top of my head, so I'll have to catch a couple Braves games, Acuna and Albies and Simpson, the three draws for Braves right now.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, Evan. We're about out of time, but it was great talking to you. And we'd love to have you on again, especially. I mean, I'm sure we will, but especially if the Braves continued to play better than expected, and hopefully we'll be able to catch a game with you this season, either up in the Bay or if you're down in LA.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'm thinking about coming down when the Braves are in LA, so I'll let you know.
Awesome. Well, yeah, with that, we'll be right back with a little bit more Duck Snoring.
And that's another episode of Duck Snort. We didn't mention it, but we do miss Joe. He couldn't make it because he injured his shoulder.
Yeah, and debilitating.
Can't podcast with a hurt shoulder.
Oh. He's going on the DL.
Did you have shoulder? Have you been keeping at all track of our shoulder rankings?
Yeah, absolutely.
Our shoulder rankings, injury.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to be like one producer below replacement level now. So I sympathize with the Dodgers.
Good tie-in. Thanks to our guest, Evan Riney. If you want to check out more of Evan, check out his Twitter, @FunGuyEvan. That's like a dude that's
like
fun.
He's a fun
not
guy.
Like a, not like a mushroom.
Yeah. And you can also follow us on Twitter @DuckSnortPod. Leave us a review in your podcast app of choice. Why don't you? Why don't you? Thanks to Boardwalk Audio and Off the Bench for their support. Thanks to Moonbounce for their transition music. Thanks to you, Waylon, for the enlightening conversation, as always.
Oh, thanks, Greg. Thanks to you for hosting this podcast.
You're very welcome. We'll be back next week with more baseball musings, you could call them.
It's the musings.
Just the ideas that spill out of our head into the microphone. We'll have more of those next week, as well as maybe more breaking news. Who knows?
Oh, we'll break some news.
Oh, we'll break some news. So come back next week. We'll talk to you then.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardWalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.